In 3, 2, 1, action! Good morning, Calvary Augusta family. It's Oscar, and I am so happy to be with you today. Can you turn to your neighbor right now and tell him that you're doing good today? Turn to him right now and tell him, I look good, and you look good, too. Can you turn with me in your Bibles today to Acts chapter 9, and we're going to talk about somebody in the Bible that was crazy.
Oscar, what are you doing right now?
Well, Pastor Jay, you were running late, and the show must go on.
Running late? Wait, move over just a little. It's my turn to preach. What are you doing?
But Pastor Jay, I already told the kids and everything about Acts chapter 9.
So you told them to turn their Bibles to Acts chapter 9?
Yeah.
What happens in Acts chapter 9?
We're going to talk about that crazy guy that was going around killing all them Christians.
Yeah, well, they called him the ones that followed the way. Yeah. Yep. What was his name?
Jimmy.
No, it was not Jimmy. Try again.
Jimtholomew.
No, his name was Saul. And at that moment, he was traveling around, and like you said, he was killing all types of Christians or believers or followers of the way. And I'll tell you, Oscar, it's critical that we understand what happens. What happens in that story as he's on his way, he's on this road called Damascus, the Damascus Road, and what happens?
Jesus came and poked his eyes out.
Oh, my goodness. Jesus did not poke Saul's eyes out.
His eyeballs right out. And by the way, kids, that's the code word for today.
The code word? The code word is eyeballs. That's right. The code
word is eyeballs.
Yes, eyeballs. Eyeballs is the code word. But so Jesus did not poke out his eyeballs, but all of a sudden a light came from heaven and it blinded Saul and he couldn't see. Can you imagine not being able to see, Oscar? What would that be like?
Pastor Jay, Pastor Jay, I can't see anything.
Hold on. Move your hand away from your eyes. There you go. Yeah, it would be pretty tough if you couldn't see, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be terrible.
Yeah. So after this, he tells him that he needs to go visit this guy in Damascus. His name is Ananias. And he goes all the way to Damascus, and he goes to this guy's house, and he waits there at this house, and then Ananias comes to him. But what's crazy about this story, Oscar, is that Ananias knows who he is, and he doesn't want to go see him because he thinks he's going to kill him. Like, can you imagine not wanting to go see somebody because they're not going to go see you?
Yeah, I didn't get to that part yet.
Yep. So here's what's happening. Why don't you let me finish the story, and you come back and see the boys and girls in like 2 weeks. How about that?
All right. That sounds great, Pastor Jay. Bye.
Right. Appreciate you, Oscar. Thanks. Okay, go away. Thank you.
My kids.
Oscar. Sorry about that, folks. Oh,
bye.
My goodness. Bye, Oscar. Good to see you. Thank you for coming. So we got to finish this story. So Saul travels all the way to Damascus. And while he's in Damascus, he's waiting there in this house. And Ananias gets this vision from God. And I love what happens. This all happens in the first part of Acts chapter 9. Then we get to verse 19. Well, let me skip back a second. We'll start at 17. Ananias goes and he finds Saul and he lays his hands on him and he says, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has sent me to so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." This is awesome. In the midst of a crazy situation, Ananias touches Saul and instantly he's healed and instantly something like scales falls off his eyes and he regains his sight. Then he gets up and was baptized. Now, here's where I want to pick up the story, church. If you're with me today, this is critical in our series. We're in week 3 of Puzzled, and I'm going to title this message, Tell Your Story. I want you to learn to tell your story, because your story is really a part of what the puzzle looks like. It's you can design it. You see, God's designed the puzzle in your life. He's got the picture. He's got the pieces in his hands. But the reality is your picture looks different than mine. And it's important that we learn to tell our story. It's important for us to understand how critical it is for us to see what God is doing. So we're going to catch up at verse 19. The Bible says here, afterwards, he ate some food and regained his strength. Aren't you glad during this COVID season we've gotten to eat some food? I don't know about you, but the one thing I can tell you is I know for a fact that I'm eating better than I've ever eaten in the past. It's been super crazy, so good. Here's what happened. Saul stayed with the believers in Damascus for a few days. So he gets some food, he gets some rest, and he hangs out with some godly people. This is a recipe right now, church, for success. Eat some food, get some rest, and spend some time with God's people. And verse 20 says, and immediately he began preaching about Jesus in synagogue, saying that he indeed is the Son of God. And all who heard were amazed. I love what the Bible says here. Isn't this the same man who caused such devastation among Jesus' followers in Jerusalem? They asked, and didn't he come here to arrest them and take them in chains to the leading priests? Saul's preaching became more and more powerful, and the Jews in Damascus could not refute his proofs that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. Verse 23 says, after a while, some of the Jews plotted against him together to kill him, and they were watching for him day and night at the city gate so they could murder him, and Saul was told about their plot. So during the night, the other believers lowered him in a large basket through the opening in the city wall, and Saul arrives in Jerusalem, and he tried to meet with the believers, but they all were afraid of him. It's critical right now for us to understand the importance of what's happening here. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. In the midst of storms and circumstances, in the midst of situations, we know that you're in control. Father, give us in this community, in this time, and in these circumstances, the heart to understand what we're supposed to do with our story. We love you, Jesus, for it. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Hey, have you ever heard of a really good sermon illustration? You know, I'm pretty confident that the first thing that you thought of was some story that a particular pastor or particular preacher or maybe an evangelist told, a particular sermon illustration that kind of changes things altogether. If I'm wrong, you can follow up with me, but my guess is that you have a particular sermon illustration that's been told, and chances are it was about a personal story that happened with that particular preacher or that particular communicator. Now, I will tell you, I have one of my favorites. It was actually changing my last church where I was. My pastor told his story of how this cinder block hit him in the head while he was on this missions trip. And I remember as he told this illustration, it really drove the point of his faith beyond control. It helped him to understand the importance of putting our faith and our trust in Jesus in the midst of different situations. But what was critical to me in that scenario was his transparency. It actually encouraged me because he told about this story and said how it had made him nervous if he would even ever preach again, or that God would do something with his life after this. And so prior to COVID-19, there were a lot of church experts that were writing articles. They were creating Facebook videos, and they were recording podcasts, and they were selling this idea that young people were leaving the church in droves. They were gone the entire time. There are surveys that have indicated that in our nation, there is an increasing number of unchurched people, and more people are responding to these surveys saying they have no religious affiliation. As a matter of fact, there was one particular survey done by the Institute of American Church Growth, and they asked over 10,000 people the same question. The question was, what was responsible for you coming to your church? All these people replied in different ways. 2% said, I had a special need and I needed to find an answer. 3% people said, I just walked in. 6% of people said, I like the preacher. I like those 6%. But 1% said they visited there for a first time. Another 1% said they liked the Sunday school service or teachings. And 3% said they liked the programs and the things that were available to church members. But 79%, church, let me tell you, listen to this, 79% said that a relative or a friend had invited them. Now, some of you are thinking to yourself, oh no, he's going to be asking us to put ourselves out there to start inviting a bunch of people to church or inviting strangers or that he's going to start talking about how to witness or share our faith with people and just share with them what God is. Well, hold on. I assure you that today I'm not here to teach you an evangelism explosion script or how to say something specific to talk to somebody about your faith. I do want to encourage you this morning that it's much simpler than that. Really, it's just simply telling your story. It's painting the picture of how Jesus came into your life and how he encouraged you and changed your life. Young people are immersing themselves right now in movies and television, YouTube videos, and video games that tell stories. The subject matter can be horrid as long as the story is told well. It's amazing how many YouTube movies or YouTube videos or movies on Netflix or some of these different venues, all of a sudden you get to watching when you're bored and quarantined and stuck at home, how easy it is to get caught up in a movie that you normally wouldn't watch, regardless of the content, because the reality is you're looking for a good story. Everybody likes a good story. And I'll tell you, I like a good story. I enjoy having this opportunity for a good story. And Luke also saw storytelling as important. In fact, as he shares Saul's conversion three times, there's probably one that's more important. So many of you may have heard the story that we started to share at the start of this message that Oscar helped me with. But Saul is eventually, in his conversion, renamed. And in his story, he becomes Paul. And Paul is a big connection to us in Scripture. As a matter of fact, he writes much of the New Testament. And there's so many things that we understand that once you have an encounter with Jesus, how it changes your story. Now, let me tell you this. Every story has a beginning, a middle, and an end. So let's break down Saul's story in these components. Have you ever considered Saul's beginning? So between Acts 1 and 2, it tells us that there is an extreme devotion to the Pharisaical way of life. He was very zealous about killing believers, but rejected that Jesus was the Messiah. You see, he followed God, but he didn't think Jesus was God. So what we find out is he was there to approve the stoning of Stephen and was willing to travel in his efforts to put anyone who was following this way of the Messiah to put them in chains, to kill them. It didn't matter if they were men, if they were women, or if they were children. He was just critically focused at the beginning on stopping what was going on in the church. This is a dramatic beginning. You see, your life might have been traumatic or dramatic in the beginning. Many people have a story of faith of their life before they found Jesus. And I'll tell you, your story is one thing that nobody can take away from you. What has happened in your life at the beginning is the critical component. There was no doubt that they were living at, that Saul here was living a life of rebellion against God, or maybe completely denied his existence. And that's how maybe many of you were when you started your journey. Maybe you believed in God, or maybe you didn't believe in him at all. But whatever that is, the story like Saul can be very dramatic, and it can be big, because those types of impacts or those stories or parts of your story are major components to help people understand what God has done. And it's critical for us to understand that. Let's not worry about how dramatic or how critical our story has been, but understand that God has a plan for what he's doing in your life. And that brings us to the middle of the story. Let's look at the middle of Saul's journey. It takes us to the Damascus Road. It takes us to where Saul sees this light that happens and comes out of nowhere. They don't know what happens, and all of a sudden, he hears the voice of God speak to him. And his voice is Jesus. He's blinded by the light, and then he's spoken to in his darkness. Now, I don't know about you, but it starts to really be relational to me. I can remember that some of the most critical times of hearing God speak to me are also some of my darkest times. Some of the times in my life where I felt so far away from God was that very spot that God chose to meet me and speak to me. It was those components in my story that make it critical to understand what God is doing in my life. And so in the midst of being blinded and not being able to see, not knowing what was happening, you know what? Saul has a couple of friends that take his hand. Now, here's the funny part. They're not blind, but they were standing on the same road. They didn't have the same experience, although they were staying on the same road. You can have people traveling with you right now in your journey or walking with you and will not understand what God has done in your life. They have not seen nor have heard what you have seen or heard. This is an encounter that you have with God that's individual to you. Nobody else can understand what God is doing in your life but you. And there will be people that witness what God is doing and still will not know what is happening. And there are times that God will still use those people even though they hadn't seen or heard exactly what you saw or heard. And in this circumstance, these friends grab his hand and they take him along to Damascus. Now, I don't know about you, but all of a sudden, if I was on my way to work and I couldn't see, the last place I would want to go is the place I was heading to start. I'd want to go back home. I'd want to crawl up. I'd want to figure out what exactly is going on. Why can I not see? What exactly happened and what did I hear? But no, Saul said, I heard a voice, and that voice said, proceed forward because I have a plan. I love this, because how did you come to know Christ? How did you find, what was your encounter like? What convinces you that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Tell people what happened. It was that on the road experience that changes everything. It may be as simple as a year after year lesson that's building up in you till the day that you made the decision. Maybe you started going to church because grandma forced you. Maybe you've been sitting in a pew your entire life. Or maybe you came because of one of those circumstances or situations that were beyond your control. Maybe you started watching church during this COVID-19, and the first time you encountered God was in your living room or in your kitchen because you were watching somebody's shared Facebook post or somebody's social media scenario. And you just said, you know, that started my journey. What does it look like for you? And it may be simple, but your experience will resonate with people as you share it. You see, Saul's story then moves towards a conclusion with some amazing things that happen. He travels throughout the Roman Empire and he starts sharing what God is doing in his life. And he starts to organize churches. As a matter of fact, he writes 2/3 of the New Testament, and most of them letters to churches throughout different communities in biblical times. So we're able to see that when you have an encounter with God, God all of a sudden changes the trajectory. Now, some of you may be sitting here and saying, well, Pastor, as a matter of fact, a lot of pastors would say when you encounter God or you encounter Jesus, all of a sudden you become a preacher. And you kind of do. Because, see, there's a part of your story nobody else can tell. I can talk biblical hermeneutics, and which is a big word, or I can break down scripture in different ways for you for a better understanding. I can be intelligent, and we can have philosophical or theological discussions. We can break down the Bible all different kinds of ways, but the reality is your story or your encounter with Jesus paints a picture of the puzzle that nobody can change. It cannot be refuted. What God did for you cannot be fought by anyone. It can be only understood. And when you share your story, it starts to put to perspective a summary. So let me tell you my story. I grew up in a family that's grandmother and grandfather found it critically important to have a faith, and that faith was in Jesus. My mom was a stay-at-home mom for a period of my life, and then she had to work. But most of the time as I was growing up, she worked, and my father worked, and they worked long hours and difficult hours, both for police departments in New York City. And so they worked extreme amount of hours, and so much so that on Saturdays they would work at times till late in the evening. And so I can remember growing up, and my mom would drop me off at grandma and grandpa's house on Saturday night as they worked, or Saturday afternoon as they worked. And that was critical, because what my grandma said was, you can drop them off when you're working, however, you cannot pick them up until after church. You see, that was my grandparents' way of making sure that we were going to be raised in church. Now, my parents were both believers at the time, but the reality was they were so busy that they weren't always able to make it to a church service. So I started young. I can remember going on a train, and that was the coolest part as a kid. We used to have to take a train from one borough in the city into Manhattan, and it was so awesome. I lived in the projects, but seeing the Empire State Building and some of those incredible buildings at the time, the Twin Towers that are no longer there, but those monumental aspects of New York City, I used to get to see them as we came in on the train, and we went to church, and I can remember after church my granddad always taking us to a particular restaurant to pick up an empanada or some different Latino foods as we got back on the train and traveled home. And if we were really good when we got off the train, granddad would always find a Mr. Softy ice cream truck where he would buy us an ice cream cone. Man, I looked forward to those moments. Little did I know that one summer they would send me to a camp, and God would speak to me. And it wasn't until later on in life, and in my senior year in high school, that I understood what that voice was, and that God all of a sudden used what he spoke to this young child in a camp years earlier. Now he was speaking to me as a senior in high school. And all of a sudden in this encounter with God, I all of a sudden felt called that this would be something that God would use to change people's lives. I was fortunate enough to have gone through these situations or these circumstances. But let me tell you another little story or another little illustration. The gentleman's name was John Newton. He was born to a Puritan mother who had died. And when he was 7 years old, his father was a sea captain who had begun to take him on voyages at age 11. He later served on a slave ship, but didn't get along with the crew, so they handed him over to African slave traders, and there he was enslaved himself. And after being rescued on that ship, he got caught up in a storm, and everything was looking hopeless. And Newton called out to God for deliverance, and the ship shifted, in such a way that the leaking hole sealed itself and the ship was able to drift to the land. Now, he looks back and at this event, he begins to look at his journey towards Christ. Later, he writes the words, "Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." It's one of the most beloved hymns that are sung in churches throughout the world. Over the past two centuries, stories like this help shape what a Christian journey looks like. There's another song that we sing in churches, and it was penned on the minute or on the moment or the spot by the author where his family dies. He asked the sea captain if he could tell him exactly where the ship that had his wife and children on went down. And there he said, "When sorrows like sea billows roll, it is well, with my soul." You see, church, there are critical components, and the reality is they paint a song in your heart. There's a lot of things that people can argue with you about, but they cannot argue your story. The critical component or the picture that we're looking at is only shaped by your story. What does your puzzle look like today? Is it broken up? Is it seem to you to be disjointed? Maybe your borders, maybe you're missing a corner piece, or maybe you're missing a side area and you can't seem to find it. Maybe if you're looking at your puzzle, if you've ever done a puzzle, right, this has been the critical component of our series. And as we close this out and we go into our special service next Sunday for Mother's Day, we start to look at what this puzzle starts to come together. Now, if you've ever done a multi-piece puzzle, I hear some of you have tried it since I started talking about puzzles. You lay the puzzle out on the table and you try to do everything you can to put it together. Now, it seems like you may have it organized or may have some pieces together, but it gets really frustrating when you're trying to find a particular piece of the puzzle. You can't seem to put the picture together. You can't seem to figure out exactly where you're going or what direction you have. And so many of you, like in the first couple of messages, you've given up. You got tired of looking for the border. Or you can't really see what the picture is supposed to look like. And you get so frustrated that you've given up. Here's the thing that I'm trying to tell you. Every story has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And no matter where you are in your story, if you're watching this video today, if you're watching this Facebook Live, if you're looking at this sermon days after I've spoke it, whenever you decide to hit that button, whether you're sharing it right now or whether you're hosting a watch party or whatever it is you're doing, if you're still watching this sermon right now, the end of your story is not yet written. You may have the beginning. You may even have gotten into the middle of your story, but you're coming on your end, and the end isn't written yet. There's still plenty to do. What will you do right now for the time that's coming forward? How will you use this season to see what God is going to do? You say, "Pastor, I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what's coming in the future." Here's the thing. There are people all around you. You've got family today. You've got friends. And God is speaking to you about who they are. My question is, will you share your story? Will you open up your book? Will you start to put your puzzle together in front of people's eyes? See, the journey of the story, the journey of the puzzle is just as important as the final picture. You have to tell people more about where you got to and where you're heading than what it looks like. It's not about us being perfect, church. As a matter of fact, just like the puzzle, when it's all put together, at the end of the day, it's still broken. Jesus is what puts us together. I told you in our first sermon in this series, He's the missing piece of your puzzle. You think you have it all put together. You think you have it all done. You're saying to yourself, but Pastor, I knew where my life was heading and exactly what I was wanting to do. I knew exactly where God was taking me, but it seems just disjointed now. I don't know anymore. I'm here to tell you that's because it's not your puzzle, it's His. The final pieces belong to Him. He's the designer of the puzzle. He's the one who took the front of your story, the middle of your story, and will help write the end of your story. Will you help me? As we go 2 weeks from now, on May 17th, we're going to come back to a modified service. What I'm asking you to do is, will you find somebody that you can share your journey with? I'm not just asking you to invite somebody to church to hear my story. I'm asking you to tell your story. Will you share with them where you were before, where you are now, and where you're hoping to go? Will you let them know that Jesus has been journeying with you throughout your story? And whether you've seen Him or you haven't, it's right now the time that you can connect with Him. God has a plan for your future, and we love you. We hope that you will start your journey with us. Can you do that today? Can you hit the share button, the like button? Can you tell somebody? Can you comment or can you post something on Facebook or any of your social media outlets? Can you post something that says, if you have questions about Jesus, let me share my story with you? Let's connect with people. Let's let people know that the Jesus that met us on our road is a Jesus that wants to meet them on theirs. Will you help us today, church? Let's see what God will do in this new season. And as we reopen our churches, we're expecting a mighty move of God. We're expecting just a countless number of people that would come that had never heard the gospel. Will you pray for us on that? And maybe you're watching today and you say, Pastor, my puzzle has been jacked up. It's all messed up. I don't really know. And my eyeballs have been closed. I have not been able to see. But today I see what you're talking about. And if you would you pray for me? If that's you today and you say, I don't know Him, but I want to know Him. Or I knew Him and I got away from Him and I want to reconnect my life. Will you just say, pray for me? Right now in the comments, will you just say, pray for me? We want to pray for you today. Father, we love you. If that's you, will you just pray this simple prayer? Just say, Dear Jesus, I know my story has been messed up. I know I mess up all the time. But I know that you died for me. I know that you can forgive me today. I know that you rose again so that I could come to know you. And I ask that my life would lead to following you. Help me to start my journey today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. If that's you, will you just know that God loves you? He believes in you. And we can't wait to start your journey with you right here at Calvary Augusta. We can't wait to see you on May 17th for our phase one opening in our modified services. God bless you today. May He keep you and may He bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.